Grace, mercy, and peace be to all from our resurrected Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. There's an interesting map on display in the British Museum in London. It's an old mariner's chart drawn in the year 1525. This chart outlines the North American coastlines and all of its adjacent waters. The unknown cartographer, the one who made this map, made some intriguing notations on areas of the map that represented regions not yet explored or discovered. This man wrote, "Here be giants, here be fiery scorpions, and here be dragons." Eventually, this map came into the possession of a Sir John Franklin, a British explorer in the early 1800s. This man scratched out those fearful inscriptions, and instead he wrote these words across it. He said, "Here is God." How was your week? Did you have a good week? Did you meet your week with the same faith and conviction of Sir John Franklin as he charted those waters? Because to be honest, I'm actually quite envious of that man's faith. To be honest, this was a difficult week in my life. This week tested my faith and it tested my conviction. There was a lot of questioning God this week. There was a lot of pleading with God. A lot of time spent in prayer and in his word, and ultimately a lot of time spent in silence before God. This week I witnessed evil firsthand. So I ask you, how was your week? Because honestly, mine was a little rough. There was a lot of sudden and unnecessary sadness in my life this week. 2,000 years ago, God himself took on human flesh. He made his dwelling here amongst us. Jesus, the eternal Son of the immortal Father, the promised Messiah, the anointed King, the chosen Savior, came to earth. The stars aligned, the angels sang, strangers bore gifts, and in a lot of ways, nothing really changed. This God-man grew, he performed miracles, crowds gathered before him, and he taught a lot. For brief moments, time stood still and people ceased suffering, but in reality, only for brief moments. Noticeably, there was something different about this Jesus. He showed promise. He showed endless possibility, a possibility that things just might forever change. He showed something that we all cling onto. He showed hope. And yet, right at the peak of his influence, with the crowds at the largest and the possibility seeming endless, this man was suddenly and violently silenced. He was captured, he was tried, and he was publicly and shamefully tortured and executed. And for most of those people in the crowd, their lives went back to normal, unchanged. For these people, it seemed as if this man was too good to be true, and so they went back to the old reality before they ever met him. All of the problems that these people face, they're still very active in our own lives here this morning. Suffering still abounds. Many are still living in very unmerciful pain. Guilt and shame still plague all of our souls. Many of our weeks are rough. And I'm sure that many of you, like me, have wondered the very same thing. If this Jesus really does change things, if he has that possibility and he has that promise, then why do hurricanes and tsunamis wreak havoc on this earth? Why do children still die? And why are terrorists allowed to randomly and senselessly steal away hundreds of lives? Why then is there still so much pain? If we take an honest look at the world before us, if we bear witness to the unending evil that fills our daily news cycle and occupies our own daily status updates, then it really doesn't look like the arrival of this Jesus has changed much of anything, does it? Certainly, I'm not the only one here this morning who sometimes feels this way. Certainly, I'm not the only one to question if Jesus' arrival really did have much of an impact in this evil world around us. And certainly, I'm not the only one broken and desperate to wonder just what exactly is waiting for us on the road ahead. In today's gospel reading, we get some insight into what the future would hold for those who did dedicate their lives to this man known as Jesus. This reading, in fact, comes at a very interesting time in his ministry, a crossroads, if you will. It takes place during Tuesday of the Holy Week, the last week of his ministry, only a few short days before Jesus himself finds himself abandoned and dying alone on a cross. Jesus and his followers have just walked out of the temple in Jerusalem. This temple, even now, is known as a very majestic and extravagant sight. At the time of Jesus' talking, it was just recently expanded and renovated into a very gaudy building by King Herod himself in a very gaudy attempt to project his own name out into the history books, and since I say it this morning, clearly it must have worked. Upon leaving the temple, the disciples marvel at the massive building on display before them. They even go so far as to call the very individual stones that make up this building wonderful. Jesus, fully aware of what lies ahead in the next few days, not just for him, but for these men themselves, he decides to turn their world upside down. He tells them that there will be a day when not one of these stones will be left standing on top of the other. I mean, can you just imagine the intentionality of destruction that would be? That there isn't even a brick left on top of the other. That's how massive this destruction will be. I mean, just think for a minute. Imagine the safest, most secure place in the world. And then imagine God himself in his own voice telling you that not one brick of that place will stand on top of the other. It's terrifying if you think about it. Such news really would shake away any false sense of security that you might be trying to hang on to. A little later in that day, these disciples and Jesus journey to the Mount of Olives, just opposite of the temple. If you sit on the Mount of Olives, you can actually see the temple in its entirety. Stunned at what Jesus had just described, four men, Peter, James, John, and this time Andrew, they pull Jesus aside and they question just exactly what it is he was talking about. Essentially, they are asking a question that we have all asked of God. What's ahead? Yet this time, Jesus doesn't give very comforting words. He doesn't hold back. He's very honest with them. He warns them just exactly what the future holds. Their future and our future, it holds false teachers, wars, mutinies, insurrections, earthquakes, disasters, starvation, disease, and then he says, and this is only going to be the beginning. He might as well have promised them nothing but giants, fiery scorpions, and dragons on the horizon. This isn't exactly a comforting future that we all want to cling on to, isn't it? And to be honest, as I read this and prepared for this morning, this is the part of the story that really troubles me the most. I mean, I don't know about you, but if I was one of these men and I had abandoned everything to follow this man, if I had fully believed his claims to be God himself, the promised and chosen Savior of the world, I would have been extremely disappointed at this point. I mean, you mean to tell me that what is ahead is exactly what I left behind? Pain, suffering, death, and discord? Then really, God, what is the point of all of this? Why are you even here? Why am I here listening to you? If all of it just ends up the same, then how did your coming to this earth really change anything? Even more troubling, can you just imagine how much more ashamed and disappointed these men were just a few days later? Just a few days later, God himself would be captured, tortured, and murdered right before their very eyes. I mean, really, God, is that what's up ahead? How could anyone call this man the bearer of good news? As I read and reread the Word of God, I think one of the greatest surprises of the entire Bible is that God actually promises that you and I will have rough weeks. He actually promises that we will face hatred and death. He promises that many times it would appear worse to be labeled one of his followers. I mean, what kind of God promises that? How is that a pitch to people? That doesn't exactly preach to the masses or draw crowds now, does it? Yet those are the words of God himself in today's reading. The disciples dare to ask God a very good and a very familiar question, a question that I know that you have asked and that I have asked a lot, especially this week. What's ahead, God? And yet this time they get the answer, and probably not the one they were looking for. He says there will be hatred, there will be pain, there will be death, and there will be disappointments. Truthfully, if we are the future, this really shouldn't surprise us, shouldn't. We are living in that future. This is definitely the world that you and I dwell in. Just think about what laid ahead for even just these four men that asked this question. James was struck down by a sword. Peter and Andrew were both crucified. And John was left alone to die on the island of Patmos, their crime telling the story that they see playing out before them. In the midst of this promise of pain and suffering, though, there is something more. God offers us a glimpse of something. Here he offers us something that we all desperately need: hope. There is a purpose for all of this suffering. Christ himself says it. So that we may stand and we may bear witness of what we see, that the gospel would be proclaimed to all of the nations. And I thank God that these four men took that to heart, and that we can assemble here this morning, many miles away, and worship a God. Jesus promises that in the midst of suffering, in the midst of pain, in the midst of all of this, the gospel will still be proclaimed, forever changing lives. Thankfully, there is in fact so much more to this story than just what we read in the lesson today, because it doesn't end here on that Holy Tuesday, and it doesn't even end on that Good Friday when it seems as if all hope is gone. On that Good Friday when a dead God and a broken and confused mass of disciples try to figure out just exactly what it is ahead. If we keep reading the story, we learn that this tragedy actually becomes a story of triumph. Because God, the almighty creator and sustainer of the universe, can take all of the hatred, he can take all of the pain, all of the evil in this world, and he can use it to bring about something good. This Jesus did not just stay dead. He rose from the grave. And through that resurrection, everything is changed forever. This God-man did not just stay dead. He rose from that grave because of his coming to the earth and making his dwelling among us. Our lives are forever changed. In fact, salvation has come. The Savior has succeeded, and our Savior has a name: Jesus Christ, our Lord. What is ahead has forever been changed because of what is already found behind us: the death and resurrection of God himself. As I was preparing to speak this morning, there was a phrase that came in a song, and for whatever reason, it kept coming to my mind, and it really offered me hope in a few moments where I needed it. The phrase was, "You can dance in a hurricane, but only if you find yourself standing in the eye." A hurricane, as you know, can wreak damage, and yet in the midst of it, there's this calmness where safe, even just for a moment, exists. On Friday, there was a 7.0 magnitude earthquake that struck off the southwest coast of Japan. This earthquake triggered a small tsunami and thankfully minimal damage. But for all of the residents there, I'm sure they were reminded of a similar incident in 2011 when 230,000 people were displaced from their home and over 18,000 were swept away from this earth. On Friday, seven terrorists decided to kill 129 random people and injure over 350 more. All in just three random and very senseless and violent acts throughout the city of Paris. The terrorist group known as ISIS has claimed credit, pride in what they do. It's been a rough week for myself, personally. On Thursday, a routine ultrasound turned my world upside down when we discovered that God called our unborn child home. For many people, and I know you have your own stories, this truly has been a rough week. You can dance in a hurricane, but only if you find yourself standing in the eye. Brothers and sisters, there is a hurricane of evil spinning its way throughout all of our lives. And yet you and I can stand in the center, and even in the midst of our pain, we can dance because we know what is ahead. All of this evil, all of this pain, all of this disappointment, it will pass and be replaced with joy. We have been brought into the eye of this storm known as life, and in this eye we see but one object. We see a once occupied but now very empty grave. Upon looking into this vacated grave, we hear a loud and ever compassionate voice declare these words: "I will wipe away every tear from your eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. For the old order of things has passed away, and behold, I am making all things new." Because God came to earth and made his dwelling among us, you and I can live faithfully because you and I know what truly does lie ahead. This is most certainly true. Amen.